Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear respected viewers of Madani Shield, we welcome you in our program Al-Mustafa, the Chosen One. Inshallah, today topic is very interesting. We'll be talking about a letter which is 2,440 years approximately old. And what that letter is, who wrote that letter, and for whom that letter was written. These are the questions. Inshallah, we will dig deep into these questions. But you should be with us from start till end. An immense amount of interesting knowledge in beginning today. Before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahle Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, founder of Madani Channel, founder of Dawat Islam. He always gives us a beautiful mindset to make good intentions before performing any good deed or doing any permissible task. So I make this intention, inshallah, I'll present this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can make this intention, you'll be with us from start till end. Remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge on to others too, inshallah. Respected viewers, focus, concentration, that is the key for seeking knowledge. That's the secret to attain and gain knowledge. So listen this program from start to end with utmost concentration, inshallah, and ask your family members to come sit in front of TV screen of Madani Channel and watch today's program, which is about a unique letter which was very old, and through that it's approximately 2,440 years old letter. And respective viewers of Madani Channel, before we proceed towards our brother Waseem Abbas Bhai, inshallah, who will be joining us with in this program, and we will also talk about this letter, and he will also shed light on this. Let me tell you a little bit of introduction before we go to him. There was a king called As'ad Tubban Himyari, and he used to rule over Yemen. In Yemeni language, this word Tubba, right, this is called the king. So Tubba al-Awwal meaning the first king, and his name was Tubba Himyari. Now, once this king Tubba left for sightseeing along with his ministers, and it is written in the books that approximately 113,000 people, they walked with him, right, on foot in that caravan, and there were 130,000 horse riders. They joined him, they accompanied him in that journey which was took place in the leadership of that Tubba, the king of Yemen. Now, whenever this caravan, this qafila, would enter to the cities, people, they would look at their grandeur, dignity and honor. They would become astonished about such a huge, big caravan. And their majesty, when they would see, they would treat them nicely and they would honor them. Look at them. And during this journey, Tubba was selecting 10 scholars from every city. So 10 scholars from every city, they would join with Tubba in that very caravan. Now, around 4,000 scholars, ulama, they gathered in the caravan of Tubba. Subhanallah. Now, what happens next in that journey? Let's go towards our Waseem Abbas Bhai and find out. Dear Waseem Bhai.
MashaAllah. Just up to here is one way, as you've mentioned, that he was gathering 10 scholars from every city approximately, and by the end he had 4,000 scholars. This gives us an indication that he visited approximately 400 cities during this journey. And we can imagine what great grandeur he would have with all those companions that were along with him, 130,000 horsemen and 113,000 people accompanying him on foot. So now He had gathered 4,000 ulama scholars with him, and now time came when this great caravan of this king Tubba, it entered the city of Makkah.
Okay.
Now the city of Makkah, they arrive in the city of Makkah, and of course their mindset would be the same, that they would receive the same grandeur, the same welcome as they have been receiving in the other cities. But in the city of Makkah, the things were exactly opposite. People didn't pay much attention to them. And seeing this, Tubba became extremely infuriated. He Right. became extremely angry because this was something unexpected. Just imagine having more than 250,000 people with you. And everywhere you go, people are honoring you, they're welcoming you, they're awestruck with your honor and grandeur. And all of a sudden you enter a city and people are not paying as much attention to your awe and dignity. Tubba, he became quite angry on this.
Right.
And he asked his minister, one of his ministers, the reason for this. And he said that, Your Highness, the people of this city are quite strange. Mm-hmm. What they do is that there's one building in the city, which is called the Kaaba, and they worship the Satan and idols in that building.
Right.
Now, listening to this, Tubba, he made an intention within his heart that he will kill the men of the city, mm-hmm. he will captivate the women and children of the city, and he will also demolish the building of Kaaba.
Allah.
So that from Kaaba, it becomes Khirba, meaning a desolate place.
Yeah,
so,
deserted place, right.
Deserted place, so that these people can learn a lesson, because he was a king of awe and dignity. So this is the thoughts that occurred in his heart, and this is the intention that he made. And as this thought struck his mind, and he thought about this, all of a sudden, he experienced a severe headache.
Allahu
Akbar. Not only this, now, along with a severe headache, a very foul-smelling water started to flow from his eyes, his ears, his nose, and his mouth.
Allah.
And such foul smell emanated from him mm-hmm. that it became extremely difficult to stand by him even for a moment.
Nobody would stand near him.
No one would stand near him because that's how foul smelling a smell would emanate from him.
Dirty material would come out of his mouth.
Indeed, indeed. And now his minister, he started consulting with other doctors, and the doctors, they were also unable to find a solution for this. They were unable to cure this. And at the end, the doctors, they came to a conclusion that this is not a physical ailment. This is not a physical disease. This is something, this is a heavenly infliction of punishment upon him.
Something supernatural.
Something supernatural, which is beyond our control to cure it. Now, this illness, of course, became a cause of a sleeplessness.
Definitely.
Of Tubba. He lost his sleep and he was in severe agony and pain. And
he's got money, he's got power, everything.
Everything.
But no health.
He was helpless in front of this affliction. And all of a sudden, one night, one of the scholars, he came to one of the ministers of the king and he said to him that if, and this was said very secretly as well, and he said that if the king tells me honestly, replies to my question honestly and truthfully, then I can cure him.
Okay.
So the minister said to him that, okay, just wait over here, let me go to the king and let me ask him that this is the proposal you're giving, whether he agrees to it or not. At the end of the day, he's the king, he's the one who's going to make the decision. So the minister, he goes to the king and he says that one of the scholars have come and this is what he's saying. And now, of course, Tubba was in such a state that how could he say no to this offer?
No choice, yeah.
He had no choice. So he straight away agreed to this. So the scholar, he came to Tubba, and now, at this point of time, there was no third person. It was just the scholar and the king, Tubba. And that honorable scholar, he asked Tubba that, tell me truthfully, that what a thought came in your heart regarding the Kaaba?
Allah.
Tell me truthfully.
Allah.
So, now Tubba, over here, he was completely helpless because of the illness. So, he straight away told that honorable scholar regarding the ill thought that had occurred in his heart regarding the Kaaba. So as soon as Tubba told him regarding this ill intention, straight away, the honorable scholar, he said that this illness of yours is because of your ill intention right. regarding the Kaaba. And he further says that remember the fact that the owner of the Kaaba knows the hidden matters.
Alimun bi dhati as-sudur, even what is in your heart,
indeed,
mind, he knows.
He knows the hidden matters. That's why remove these thoughts from your heart. Well-being for you lies in this. Now, on the other hand, Tubba, he didn't have any choice. He didn't have any option. So straight away, he repented And he removed all these ill thoughts from his heart. And as soon as he removed all these ill thoughts from his heart, the scholar, he had not even returned back yet. And Tuba, on the other hand, he had completely recovered. He completely recovered. The illness was removed. That was that went away, and now he was completely cured. And seeing this with his own physical eyes, seeing in this truthfulness of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, in the oneness of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, Tuba, he straight away embraced faith upon Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, and he adopted the religion of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So he became on the right path, and now a time came when Tuba, he prepared 7 covers for the Holy Kaaba out of the dignity and honor of the Kaaba. Now Rizwan Bhai, there was a time when same Tuba, he intended to demolish the Kaaba. And now what has happened? Same Tuba, he is honoring the Kaaba. He is dignifying the Kaaba. He is preparing covers for the Kaaba. So we come to know that the signs, the symbols of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala are such that revering them, honoring them is something which elevates your ranks in this world and the hereafter. It is something that removes your calamities. And of course, dishonoring them, showing disrespect to them, makes you face calamities in this world and in the hereafter. So, Tuba,
I think, Wasim Bhai, I would take you a little bit another discussion to this topic. Whoever has tried ever to demolish Kaabatullah Sharif, the house of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he was demolished.
Indeed.
This is the history of Kaabatullah Sharif.
Indeed.
This, and we also find the Waqia, the account of
Abraha,
right? And that's what had happened when he thought to demolish, so he was completely destroyed and demolished from this face of the earth. And exactly the same had happened with this king when he had thought, so he was inflicted in such sort of ailment and problems that finally, alhamdulillah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala
guided him.
So this is what we also understand from this fact, viewers of Madani Channel. This house of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. This was the, I think if you would just shed a light, what were the words of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib, radiyallahu anhu, at that time, when the people came to him and they said that, why you're worried about your camels, you're asking about your camels, and you're not worried about the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What were the words
he had? Along the lines, Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu said that, I am the owner of the camels, so I'll ask for my camels. And the one who is the guardian, the owner of the Kaaba, he will protect it itself.
Subhanallah.
You see, this was the yaqeen, the reliance they had in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as they understood that honor and dignity and salvation lies in honoring the signs, the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we take the same discussion further, that if this is the essence, or this is the lesson that we learn, that we need to be respectful for the signs and symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then imagine the element of respect we need to observe for those who are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That of course raises even more. So coming back to the topic, Rizwan Bhai, Tuba, now for the dignity and honor of Kaaba, he prepared 7 covers for the Kaaba. And before him, no one had ever put a cover on the Kaaba.
So he is known to be the first one who started putting ghilaf on Kaaba.
Indeed.
That's also in the history.
Indeed. So this is when the Kaaba started to have a cover. And after this, Tuba, he specially instructed the people of Makkah to look after the city of Makkah, to protect it and to revere it, to respect it. And after this, Tuba, he left for Madinatul Munawwara. So this is a brief account of how Tuba was afflicted with the ailment, and a brief introduction as well, that what was the reason, the cause behind that ailment, and how he recovered, what was the reason behind his recovery, and then eventually how he honored and dignified the Kaaba, and then left further for his expedition, which inshallah we will cover shortly.
We'll talk further on this. But here another point, viewers of Madani Channel, we understand that the kings of those those times, right, they had this understanding to have a company of scholars. This is also very apparent from this account.
Indeed.
How he started his journey, and he would pick scholars, ulama, with him from every city he would take. And approximately 4,000 scholars, ulama, they accompanied him. And another beautiful fact, what I understand, deduced from this account, is that I think that was the same reason that he had this understanding to have company of scholars, right? And they were the one who finally guided him towards righteousness.
Indeed.
And he admits this fact later in his you see, letter also, inshallah, what we'll be sharing, what he had written, Allahu Akbar, that he pays tribute and thank you to the scholar who had guided him. So this is what we understand. With respect to views of Madani Shan, always try to remain in the company of scholars. Ulama, have your attachment with ulama. Have your attachment with those. They are learned people. They have got understanding of Islam, Deen Islam. And without ulama, we are nowhere. We cannot be guided, to be honest with you. And we need their company. We need their guidance in this world, and definitely in the hereafter we would also need such scholars in terms of shafa'ah also. Yes, the shafa'ah after shafa'ati kubra, these scholars will also be given this honor and status that they will do shafa'ah intercession for the people. So there are inshallah as well as such people who are helpful in this world as well as in the hereafter. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, now it's time to include one segment in our program, which is known as the Chosen Sunnah. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, after coming back from this segment, we will inshallah Azza wa Jal talk about this same topic again, inshallah. Continue that waqia, that account. Let's go towards Chosen Sunnah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma has narrated that miswak has 10 qualities. It cleans the mouth, strengthens the gums, improves the eyesight, eliminates phlegm, eliminates bad breath. It is the observance of the sunnah. Angels become happy. Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased. It increases good deed and improves the functioning of the stomach also. SubhanAllah, how many beautiful qualities. I think one of the best qualities of doing miswak is that you attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is a blessed sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Apart from all other benefits which are associated in terms of your health. So try to adopt this beautiful sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And inshallah azawajal, you will attain the mentioned blessings. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallam. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, before going towards our segment, we were talking about an account of Tubba, the king of Yemen. Now, before we had gone to the point up to Makkatul Mukarramah. Back in those days, there was no population in Madina Sharif. Apart from a spring of water, there were no signs of life there. The caravan of Tubba reached there and camped by the very same spring. During the stay there, around 4,000 scholars held a meeting. After this meeting, 400 scholars among them decided that until they are alive, they will not leave that very place. So that place, meaning, we had explained this account that he was in Mecca, he honored Kaaba, and he asked people of Mecca to look after Kaabatullah Sharif. Then this caravan marched towards Madinatul Nabi Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'azima of this day and age. But back in those days, that was known to be Yathrib. So that qafila, that caravan of the king of Yemen, Tubba, went to Medina Sharif. When they went there, the scholars they were with King Tubba. So 4,000 scholars. Amongst those 4,000 scholars, 400 out of them, they had a meeting and they decided, because they had read in scriptures, they had read in their books that there would be coming of a personality, a final prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And they had read the signs of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam's personality and his arrival. And that's why they knew this is the very place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be migrating. So they decided that we will live here, we will not leave this place. Even if king kills us, we won't leave from here. We will stay here. If we'll be able to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fair enough. If not, then inshallah our generations, our upcoming generations will behold Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will do ziyarah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to help Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they decided, so when this situation was known to the king, so he was astonished. Why these people are not willing to leave this place? So when he asked about the reason of their negation to leave from that very place, which is known to be now as Madinatul Nabi, and back in those days was known to be Yathrib. So when they asked the reason, then the scholars said, so what the scholars said, I would like to mention. Listen with the ears of your heart about the praise of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in program Al-Mustafa, the chosen one. The scholars of that time, we are talking about even 1,000 years before the blessed birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those scholars, they said, a Nabi alayhi salam will come whose name will be Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Kaaba and Medina will attain dignity due to him. He will be the Imam, leader of Haqq. Truth. His sword will be called Dhulfiqar. He will ride on a she camel. He will deliver a sermon standing on a pulpit with a staff in his hand. His dignity will be elevated further by him being blessed with the Holy Quran. And when the day of judgment will establish, he will be crowned with the crown of Hamd, subhanallah. And he will have the flag of Hamd in his hands. He will invite people towards La ilaha illallah. He will be born in the city of Mecca and will bless Madinatul Nabi, Madina Munawwara, with his migration. Undoubtedly, the one being in his era and believed in him will be fortunate. That's why we want to live here until the last breath, with the hope that either we'll be best to present ourselves in the benevolent court of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, or our offsprings will be blessed with this privilege. So this was the reason they mentioned. Wasim Abbasbhai, what happens next? After such a beautiful description of the signs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned by those scholars to that King Tubba, what happens next? Let's find out.
SubhanAllah. So the hearts of the ardent devotees of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam were igniting with the flame of the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam even before his apparent arrival in this world.
SubhanAllah.
And now when all this happens and those scholars, they mention this reasoning to the King Tubba. Now, Tubba, after finding out all this through his minister, what he does is, he thinks to himself that, why not I also stay in this place with these 400 scholars for 1 year?
Right.
Because he was also hoping for the same, because now, again, we come back to the same point that ulama are guiding him, they are leading him, they were the people of knowledge, and they knew what they are waiting for. So when ulama, they guided him, he also intended to stay over there for at least 1 year along with those 400 scholars. And he thinks that it is possible that during this time the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam comes and I'm able to behold him, I'm able to see him. And with the same thought in his mind, what does he do? He constructs 400 houses for those 400 ulama. Allah. Who are these 400 ulama? Who out of those 4,000 ulama, they agree to stay over there. So for those 400 ulama, Tuba, he builds 400 houses, he gets them married over there, and also gives them a lot of wealth. So this is, in a way, he's paying a tribute in the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi wa sallam by serving the ulama. And alhamdulillah, Dawud Islam is also reviving the sunnah today through Jamiatul Madina with Dawud Islam. Alhamdulillah, produces ulama in Jamiatul Madina.
Before you go further, Wasim al-Asbah, I would like to touch upon this very important point what you brought, how Dawud Islami is promoting this important understanding to respect ulama, to help them, to support them. And especially my Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, alhamdulillah, he has given us an understanding that from our pocket money, if we can serve ulama, scholars, imams, Allahu Akbar, if we are able to do, we should do. We should help them. So there is a madani in'am, or which is known as a pious action, right, which is given by Amir of Ahl Sunnah monthly. It states that, have you served ulama, scholars of Deen Islam, with your pocket money or some money, whatever is possible? Allahu Akbar. This also tells us, we also learn from this king, that who had helped, who had given them wealth, who had constructed houses for them. And today, in this day and age, yes, respected viewers of Madani Channel, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us wealth, we should look after, especially those, they are scholars, especially those, they are students of Deen Islam. There are people who can ask from their mouth, but such people, they have got honor, they have got dignity, they have got their own self-respect, and due to that reason, they do not even ask from people when they are needy.
Indeed.
So it is us, we need to go and support them in terms of hadiyah. Whatever we can do, we should support our local imams, our local ulama and scholars. This is the message I would like to give across to the viewers of Madani Channel, whoever is watching anywhere. So whenever you are thinking to help the needy, I think this is also very important element to think at that moment, that who are ulama and scholars around us, so we can help them.
MashaAllah. Beautiful messages, one way. And just before, I think it's the time for another segment now. Just before we go towards that, Rizwan, we're just concluding words on the same point that you were mentioning, that if you think about it, ulama are those who understand how to live their life.
SubhanAllah.
Those who are not people of knowledge, those who do not possess knowledge, they are those who are suffering loss. They are those who will suffer loss. Either you should be amongst the people of knowledge, or those who are affiliated or associated with those, so that you can be guided on every step of your life. Because as we are covering the topic of Tuba today, that from the very first time when he intended to demolish the Kaaba, to all the way to this time when he's honoring the Kaaba and he's honoring the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what's the reason behind it? Because he had ulama behind him.
SubhanAllah. No doubt. Very good. Respected viewers, we'll continue from this very point, this account. Let's include one segment in our program that's called Chosen Facts. Let's go towards our segment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, the very first question is, which color of imama were the angels wearing who came to help in the battle of Badr? The answer is white color. SubhanAllah. So we should also adopt this beautiful way that we should also adorn our head with white color of imama. It's a good act to wear a white imama, inshallah, azza wa jal. And the second question is, can wudu and ghusl be performed with zamzam water? Very interesting fact, inshallah, we'll come to know. Yes, it can. It has been stated in Fatawa Razawiya, wudu and ghusl with zamzam water is permissible without any karahat, dislike, in the sight of our blessed a'imma. So this is also something we understand today. And the third question is it permissible to eat pigeon? Yes, it is halal to eat pigeon. So these are the few important, beautiful, interesting facts. I hope, inshallah, you must have increased your knowledge. If you keep watching Madani channel, alhamdulillah, you increase your knowledge. Today we are talking about a letter which was written by King Tubba Himyari. So we have reached to the point, Wasim Abbas Bhai, if you can please further elaborate on that.
Sure. So we reached the point where Tubba, he also intended to stay in Madinatul Munawwara along with those 400 scholars, which at that time was known as Yathrib. And he built 400 houses for them and also made them marry over there and also give them a lot of wealth. So after waiting for 1 year, now he intended to leave Madinatul Munawwara. Now at this point, what he does is, he writes a letter.
Subhanallah.
Now we are coming to the point of our the topic. Now, as he's intending to leave Madinatul Munawwara, now is the time when he writes a letter.
So he stayed in Medina for approximately, he camped there for 1 year.
Yeah. In the Allah hope Allah. Of beholding the Prophet
this is the love Islam. Subhanallah he possessed.
And now after a year, when the time came to depart from there, those 400 ulama, they've settled over there. They're not leaving with him. He specially built houses for them over there. He made them marry over there. He gave them a lot of wealth so they can settle down over there. And he himself, after waiting for a year, now he intends to leave. And as he intends to leave, he writes a letter for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And the content of the letter was somewhat as following.
Subhanallah.
He writes, from Tubba'ul Awwal Himyar bin Marda to the final Prophet Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, of the Lord of all the worlds. And he writes that this letter is an entrustment of Allah Almighty. Whoever receives it should make it reach its owner. Now, he writes, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I embrace faith upon you and the Holy Quran. So the Holy Quran apparently has not been revealed yet, but approximately 1000 years before, he's saying that I embrace faith upon you and upon the Holy Quran.
Scholars, they had told that we be a final. Another interesting fact here, he is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a word, final Nabi.
Indeed.
Final Prophet. Even at that moment in time, the scholars of those era, they knew that the one will be coming will be the final
prophet. The final prophet. Indeed.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And even they knew that after him there will be no prophet in any form or shape.
Yeah.
So he addressed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with the final prophet. And he also addresses Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, I embrace faith upon you and the Holy Quran. I adopt your religion and your sunnah. I embrace faith upon your Lord and the Lord who is the Lord of everything. And the Sharia which you will bring, I embrace faith upon that as well. If I am successful in being blessed with attaining companionship of yours, then this will be a great reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me. And if I do not attain this honor, this privilege, then on the day of judgment, but do not forget me.
Subhanallah.
He is mentioning this in the letter, that if I'm not honored,
he's making istighasa, in other words.
Indeed. He says that if I'm not honored with this privilege, then do not forget me on the day of judgment. Intercede for me in the court of Allah Almighty. Do my shafa'ah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am your obedient ummati. I am your obedient follower. And I have become your follower even before your arrival. I am upon your religion and the religion of your father Ibrahim. So this was the content of the letter that he wrote for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after writing this letter, Tubba, he stamped it with his golden stamp, on which this writing was engraved, that before and after is the command of Allah Almighty. And on that day, the people of Iman, they will be joyous, they will be happy with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was what was engraved on his golden stamp, and he stamped that letter with his golden stamp, the content of which we've just mentioned before the views of Madani channel. So this one with his beautiful verse, the expression of love, the expression of obedience, the expression of believing in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What was this?
Allah.
This was that love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which serves as guiding principle for our faith as well. That even before the arrival of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, thousands of years before, approximately 1,000 years before, there are those ardent devotees who had the knowledge. They knew a Prophet will come, and they knew that Iman.
They had also, I think, somewhere the people of this time and that time, in somehow you can say that there is one similarity, that they had also read about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Indeed,
they had also heard from ulama and scholars, and they fell in love. And alhamdulillah, today also we, the ummati of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have heard about Rasulullah, we've read about Rasulullah, and we are the devotees.
Indeed, and King Tubba, he's pleading in the court of the Prophet alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, presenting him his plea for his intercession on the day of judgment in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's expressing his love, and imagine that he's doing all this by the virtue of whom? By the virtue of the scholars. So this is the expression and the level of love of someone who has been guided by the scholars. And imagine the love that the scholars, they themselves will have for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, those who will have knowledge. That over here, an ordinary person, because now we're not comparing a king against non-kings, we are comparing an individual who doesn't have the knowledge as compared to those who have the knowledge, because those are the actual kings in metaphorical sense. Now Tubba, he was dependent upon the people of knowledge. A king, in other words, was dependent upon the scholars. So who is superior, a scholar or a non-scholar king? Of course a scholar. So Tubba, his level of love was such, but imagine the level of love that those scholars, they would have.
I think the level of love of those scholars was such that they said, we will not leave this place. Even King kills us. See, they were ready to give their own life for the cost of living there, subhanAllah. But that did not happen, subhanAllah. And finally, this account goes further. We'll talk about it, inshallah. But now it's the time to include one segment in our program. That's called Chosen Message. Listen that, we'll come back and continue on the same very topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, صلى الله عليه وسلم يا مصطفى the chosen.
How will Dawat Islami carry out its important works? As far as Dawat Islami's source of income is concerned, that is only through your kind donations. We do not have any business, or we don't have any investments. Alhamdulillah, we receive your kind donations, and that's how Dawat Islami works. How Dawat Islami collects donations: whenever Rajab, Sha'ban and Ramadan arrives, donations are collected. Other religious organizations and institutions, they collect donations for a complete whole year. But as Dawat Islami is a very big organization, that is why we are able to collect about 6 months' expenses in these Islamic months, Rajab, Sha'ban and Ramadan. I would like to explain this with another example. Hope you will understand better. You're driving on motorway. Your car's fuel light comes on, indicating that fuel is low. As soon as you notice that, you start looking for petrol pump, and finally you reach to the petrol station to fill up your car with fuel. But as soon as you reach there, you see the sign closed. I imagine what would be your condition. Meaning Dawat Islami reached near Rajab and Sha'ban and thought to collect donations, but markets are closed. How will we carry out our charity work? The services Dawat Islami is providing, we all want them to continue, don't we? Dear viewers, there's another important point to understand. Dawat Islami already has a lot of burden of its expenses. But look at kindness of Amir of Ahle Sunnah, the yearning and passion to serve the Ummah, and devotion of brothers of Dawat Islami. For them, Dawat Islami is not first. Instead, they are serving the Ummah. They're helping people in need, providing them ration, food, blood donations. But now, we're here to make an appeal. We're here to request you. Because Dawat Islami is also yours. Now, we need your help and support in order to meet its expenses. Yes, if you support Dawat Islami, it's a great welfare work too. Your beloved Dawat Islami has around 31,500 employees. This number includes scholars, imams of masajid. Let me mention another interesting fact. People are heard talking that religious people do not talk much about women or about their rights. Dear viewers, you would be surprised to know that amongst these 31,500 employees, 7,200 employees are women. And beauty of Dawat-e-Islami is that Dawat-e-Islami has created job opportunities for women after meeting all preconditions of Islamic law for a woman to work. Alhamdulillah, after meeting all prerequisites of Islamic law, a large number of women, around 23%, is working with Dawat-e-Islami. Our sisters, our mothers, you have to pay salaries to all. Now imagine, if they do not get their salaries on time, how will they be able to provide for their families? So through Dawat-e-Islami, we can put share in a great welfare work. Let me mention another beautiful fact, that amongst these 31,500 employees, 580 are disabled employees. Alhamdulillah, disabled also got opportunity to work. You know, some companies, they claim that they have got equal opportunities for all. And if just few disabled work for them, they mention that a lot. But Dawat-e-Islami has 580 employees who are disabled. Some cannot walk, some have got problem in their legs or hands, and they sit in front of computer and teach online Quran. Dear viewers, first I would like to talk to them who gave their zakah last year to Dawat-e-Islami. This year, inshallah, you'll have to give more than last year. And those viewers who did not used to give donations to Dawat-e-Islami, you've seen another beautiful direction of Dawat-e-Islami. Now, alhamdulillah, if you want to donate money, ration, food, blood, you can do this through your Dawat-e-Islami. Dawat-e-Islami is serving religion of Deen Islam. So those viewers who love Islam, they should come forward and support us. Should support generously and wholeheartedly. Just take it as your responsibility, because many of our donation sources have been affected. Dear respected viewers, if you want to learn about your religion, about your Deen-e-Islam, if you want that we produce more and more Islamic scholars, if you want to save your upcoming generations and support your Dawat-e-Islam, I believe many of our viewers would have understood the worth of Madani Channel in this lockdown. Allah forbid, if Madani Channel did not exist, many people would have faced mental health problems. How could we comfort our heart? Alhamdulillah, this Madani Channel is spreading soft messages, giving hope to them. Amir of Ahle Sunnah is guiding us. Azan is called out. Du'as are being made. Naat are being recited, all through Madani Channel. But channel's expenses are not stopped. Satellite fees are not waived in lockdown. There are hundreds of employees working for Madani Channel. Madani Channel is broadcast in three different languages, and it requires huge amount of funds. My dear respected viewers, you did not leave your Dawat-e-Islami alone before, and now it's more crucial time to support it. I know it is tough time, but we have to deal with it together. We need to be united. We have to help each other. We have to help the needy. Also look after expenses of your local masajid. Remember your local imams. And our 31,500 employees are also yours. Remember, whatever donation you give to your Dawat-e-Islami, that donation can be spent in any permissible, religious, reformative, and welfare cause, and any act of kindness and goodness. So you should authorize us to spend in these mentioned noble causes. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, you heard from Haji Abdul Habib Attari. He's talking about Dawat-e-Islami's expenses, and he made an appeal. I think very brief explanation. Alhamdulillah, you've already heard. I don't think there is anything further needed to talk on this. But I would urge you, whenever you calculate your zakah, your donations, inshallah, whenever you would like to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when Ramadan al-Kareem arrives, people have got more tendency and inclined to give more and more in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not forget your beloved Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah, we are also talking about a beautiful letter and the what you call how ulama scholars, alhamdulillah, helped Tubba in terms of his guidance, how they became the cause of his guidance. We also understand how important it is that we produce more and more ulama and help them. Dawat-e-Islami is producing thousands of ulama every year, alhamdulillah. You can support your beloved Dawat-e-Islami through your generous donations too. Respected viewers, before we went towards the segment, we were talking about that very letter. We were there when Tubba, he migrated.
We've just mentioned the account, the content of the letter. That's Jee. What Toba had written in the letter.
Yeah. After writing this letter, respect views of Padrishan, he hands that letter over to those scholars. 400 scholars, he gave that letter to one of them and said that, please pass this letter to Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, if in your lifetime you are able to see him. If not, then pass this letter on to your upcoming generations and ask them to hand over this very letter of mine to Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And then he leaves towards Ghalsan, a city in India, Hind, and passes away there. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was born in Makkatul Mukarramah. After blessing Makkatul Mukarramah 53 years, now the time comes when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrates towards Madinatul Nabi, Zadahallahu Sharfan wa Ta'zima, of this day and age, which is known as Madinatul Nabi. Now, when the time of migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, at that very moment, Ansar, they had already accepted Islam. Even when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was propagating in Makkatul Mukarramah, the people of Ansar, they had accepted Islam. When they came to know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is blessing us, is migrating towards Medina, and now they decide to hand over that blessed letter of Tubba to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, it's really, really fascinating and faith refreshing account. What happens, we'll find out from our brother Wasim. Jee Wasim bhai.
SubhanAllah, those Ansar Sahaba that you're talking about, they were from the same lineage of those 400 scholars who stayed over there. And when Tubba passed that will on to the same very scholar who reformed him, but pass this letter on to Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if you don't find, then to your children, if they don't, then their children. Then it came down to Ansar Sahaba, who were from the lineage of those 400 scholars, and for 1,000 years they were preserving that letter,
guarding and protecting,
guarding and protecting this letter. And now when the time of course migration of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came, the people of Medina, they were joyous, they were very, very happy. As you can imagine, the purpose of your life, the purpose of your soul, your everything is coming to you now.
Allah.
How excited you would feel now. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he's coming to Madinatul Munawwara, migrating to Madinatul Munawwara. And now what they do is that they consulted amongst themselves that this letter should be handed over to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And now within this consultation, Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu was also present in there.
Right.
As he radiallahu ta'ala had migrated to Madinatul Munawwara before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So he was also present over there, and what actually had been decided was that this letter should be given to some reliable person who should go to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and deliver this letter to him. And with mutual consultation, they decide for Abu Layla Ansari to hand this letter over to the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who up to now had not embraced Islam, but at a later stage he embraces Islam. And this is also really, really fascinating, that how Abu Layla Ansari went with the letter, came across the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and what happened there increases the love of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam further in our hearts. What happens is that Abu Layla Ansari, he takes the letter and he embarks on the path which leads to Makkatul Mukarramah. And when he reaches the tribe of Banu Sulaym, the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was already present over there, because he was also migrating towards Madinatul Munawwara. And up to now, Abu Layla Ansari, he had not seen the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he did not recognize that he is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as soon as he saw Abu Layla Ansari, he straight away said, Anta Abu Layla? That you are Abu Layla? And he replied, yes. And the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam then said, "Wa ma'aka kitabu Tubba'il Awwal," that you have the letter of Tubba'il Awwal, of Tubba the first. To which Abu Layla Ansari, he was shocked, he was amazed of, once he heard these words from the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as he was amazed that, who is this personality? who not only knows my name, but also knows the purpose of my arrival over here. Because up to now, he didn't know that he is the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, who also knows the news of the unseen, who's also acquainted, also knows the news of the ghaib. So he asked very humbly that, who are you? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam replied, I am Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Give me the letter. Listening to this, Abu Layla Ansari, he opened his bag and he handed over the letter, 1,000 years old letter of Tubba, to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that was stamped with the stamp of Tubba. And after this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to read out that letter. And once Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu read out that letter, the content of which we mentioned earlier, then the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, he said three times, what did he say? Marhaba bil akhi salih. Welcome my pious brother. Welcome my pious brother, welcome my pious brother. Three times the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned these words. And after this, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he ordered Abu Layla Ansari to return back to Madinatul Munawwara. So this is how, with mutual consultation, that letter was handed over to Abu Layla Ansari to give it to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam receives that letter, and upon receiving the command of the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Layla Ansari, he returns back to Madinatul Munawwara.
Subhanallah. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, inshallah, we'll continue on this. Let's go towards our segment, which is Chosen Wazaif. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
يا مصطفى the chosen one صلى الله عليه وسلم يا مصطفى the chosen.
Respective viewers of my nation, the very first wazifa today we've got for you is, whoever recites this with 7 times daily, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhabu, 7 times daily, inshallah azza wa jal, he will become mustajabud da'awat, i.e. his every dua will be accepted, inshallah azza wa jal. So Ya Wahhabu. And the next chosen wazifa we've got for you, that is Ya Razzaqu, Ya Razzaqu. He who recites this with 550 times for 41 days in between the Fard and Sunnah prayers of Fajr will inshallah azza wa jal become wealthy. So you have to recite Ya Razzaqu, Ya Razzaqu as mentioned. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we also recite more and more wazaif inshallah azza wa jal. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, we are talking about that letter which was written by Tubba ul-Awwal. Himyar, alhamdulillah, and that letter was written for whom? For Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Abu Layla Ansari relayed the whole account to Allah after coming to Madinatul Munawwara, the letter in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listening to this, when he relayed that account that was delivered, the people blessed him with rewards according to their capability. Thereafter, when the Holy Prophet ﷺ blessed the plains of Medina by setting his blessed foot on its soil under the slogans of Tala'il Badru Alayna and made it into Medina to Tayyiba forever, then every tribe wanted the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay with him. But what had happened? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave my she camel. It will stop where the command of Allah azza wa jal will be. Therefore, she camel stopped in front of companion of Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an, his house. He, radiallahu ta'ala an, was from the blessed descendants of the same revered scholar who reformed Tubba, and his house was the same house in which Tubba had specially built for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So that she camel sat next to very house which was built by Tubba al-Awwal Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an is the Sahabi Rasul of the same generation of those 400 scholars. They started residing in that very place. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's she camel stop next to that very house. And subhanAllah, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu an is known to be host of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is an honor for him also. And he is from the lineage of those 400 scholars. And they were the ones, subhanAllah, protected, then guarded that letter. SubhanAllah, what a fascinating account, faith refreshing account in the history of Islam, which tells us the grandeur, which tells us the honor and dignity of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, maqam of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, the maqam and status of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was known to the scholars of past. Anbiya Kiram of the past, they always gave the glad tidings of the arrival of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Ghani. And we are the blessed ones. We are the fortunate ones that we are in the ummah of that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And only this very blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot thank enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected viewers of Bani Shal, I hope inshaAllah azawajal, you must have increased your knowledge and must have refreshed your iman after learning this fascinating account. Finally, I would like to take concluding remarks from our brother Wasim Abbas. Any message would you like to give across?
SubhanAllah, as you were just talking about the Sirizwanvi, I was just thinking that which personality is there in the history for whom a letter would be written 1,000 years ago?
Allah.
And that would also be preserved and also be delivered.
SubhanAllah.
You won't find any such personality in the history
other than the Prophet
alayhi salatu wasalam, and never will there be any such personality in future either. That's why we say Al-Mustafa, the chosen one. Okay. He is the chosen one, the most superior after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and stay attached to the scholars. The way Tuba saved himself from the ruin, from the destruction, it was because of the scholars. They guided him and he came on the right path and he was honored. Similarly, if you want to be honored, also want to attain salvation, stay attached with the scholars, follow their guidelines. Inshallah azzawajal, you will attain success and salvation in this world and in the hereafter.
Beautiful message. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much, Wasim bhai. And thank you very much for watching. Al-Mustafa, the chosen one. Keep watching Madani channel. Until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.